Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell, and tonight we have an exciting show for you. We have Dr. Melanie Macklin on with us tonight, better known as Dr. Mac, and she's a dermatologist, and she's here to answer all of your questions. But before we speak with her, we want to send it over to my sister Janice, who has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who heard the beauty news last week, or who know a little bit about the IMAT show coming up in London on February 4th and 5th, be sure to check out the Makeup Artist Pro Card event on Friday, February 13th, and that'll be from 2 to 7 p.m. in the evening. So tickets are required for that show. It will be complimentary access to the show floor if you have a Pro Card, if you hold a Pro Card. This event is sponsored by Royal and Langenfeld Brush Company, and there will be a special guest appearance by makeup artist Leonard Engelman, who will be there to pretty much answer any questions that you may have about the Oscars. So be sure to check that out on February 3rd, and that's a Friday. And Kat Cosmetics is offering basic and advanced airbrush classes on February 26th and 27th to be held in Boston at Elizabeth Grady. And for more information on that, you can call 781-391-9380, or you can go online and check out ketcosmetics.com. That's K-E-T-T cosmetics.com. And Silly Farm, the guest that we had on last week's show, is having a huge sale on face and body painting, makeup, and supplies this weekend on their website. And they're also having, they had a jam today, but they're also holding a face and body painting class tomorrow, Northern Virginia. So for more information on that, you can go to their website, which is sillyfarm.com. And for those of you who like to follow us on Facebook, you can follow the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio page. And you can join us tonight after this show for a follow-up to this show on the Facebook page. We'll just have a little chat there for about 15 minutes. And also follow that page for any of the latest beauty news and any information on any of our future guests on Beauty Talk.
Okay, sounds good. Again, I wanted to repeat to everyone, our guest tonight is Dr. Mac, and if you'd like to call in and ask her any questions or if you want to make a comment, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Good evening, Dr. Mac. How are you?
I am doing great, ladies. How are you all?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, no, thank you for having me, and hopefully we're able to pull some people away from the football game. Maybe they have some athletic skin or hair questions for us. But
right.
thanks for the invite. I definitely look forward to whatever questions, or if you all have some questions that you may personally have, I'm an open book tonight, ladies.
Okay, sounds good. First, I just wanted to start off with you just introducing yourself to our audience and letting them know exactly what you do.
Yes, I am I actually started my company in 99 as a research and media-based dermatologist, and I focused mostly on the whole research of natural nutrients towards the beauty of hair and skin from an internal aspect, you know, because, ladies, I'm sure you know, traditionally it's so many topical lotions and potions and creams and night creams and day creams and all these things that work from the outside can only do but so much from the outside. So I have taken on this whole research of natural nutrients that are going to help from the internal. I've developed Bella Nutri for Women, which launched in 2004. It's a hair and skin supplement that contains special marine proteins and collagen. And then, of course, I developed Bow Nutri for Men, which came out in 2008, which is the male counterpart. And basically, I do lots of national radio on the Dermatologist with the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I have the Best of Steve Harvey every Saturday. I do on-air, email segments on hair and skin. I also do work with Fox News here in the D.C., Maryland area. I'm the medical director of hair and skin for Hype Hair Magazine. I also do consultant work with Sister to Sister Magazine. Let's see. I'm a mommy. I have two baby girls in addition to all the other, you know, multimedia things that I do. So I am mostly a consultant as an over-the-counter dermatologist, and this is why I have lots and lots of secrets that people can gather of something that you can simply walk into your local drugstore or grocery store and find a solution to your hair or skin issue, because I've taken my trick of the trade and being able to give you key things that you can get right at your hands, you know, without necessarily having to go to the doctor.
Right. Right. Let me ask you, because you developed the lines and everything, what's some of the ingredients in your skincare and hair care products that we need to look out for to avoid?
To avoid? Well, you know, oftentimes, companies will use certain ingredients to avoid as a way to put their product on blast, if you will, to make their brand better. They'll say, you know, stop this sulfites or this or that or the other. I think anything in moderation is okay. But if I would put my finger on one thing that we really should start avoiding, especially in us as women of color, would be in the area of hair care products. And that would be, as people always hear me talk about, and that's with the use of chemical relaxers. I'm not saying that I'm against chemical relaxer, but if someone is having an underlying hair issue, hair thinning, hair shedding, hair breakage, the first and foremost thing that they need to avoid from a ingredient standpoint would be the sodium or calcium hydroxide that's in chemical relaxers. So that's from the hair perspective, okay? So it's okay if you're not having an issue, use it and make sure you don't overlap relaxer. But if you're having an issue, avoid the hydroxide. And they'll come, ladies, in the form of, you know, they'll use the word texturizer. And they'll say, oh, well, I don't have a perm. Or I don't have a relaxer, I have a texturizer. No, you still have a hydroxide in your hair. So if you're having hair thinning, hair shedding, or the classic, what we call in the top part, I'm sure a lot of you ladies may know women that have thinning in the top crown of the head. You know, that's so common, and that's a classic, commonly underdiagnosed condition called follicular degeneration syndrome, and it's caused by the use of the hydroxide chemicals that's in it. As far as, like, facial products, you know, really, those are pretty much, you know, whatever that you like. You know, I think the thing to remember is what to use as opposed to not to use. And what to use is, I always suggest using a combination of alpha hydroxy acids like glycolic acid, lactic acid, vitamin C. Those are common in a lot of the skin cleansers for the purpose of exfoliating and cleansing the skin, because the more you can remove a lot of those dead skin layers, the more fresh and healthier your skin is going to be. And women of color, I like to add a beta hydroxy acid. which is considered like salicylic acid, okay, and you will find salicylic acid in acne products, okay.
Right.
Even though you don't have acne, I still say use it. I don't get acne, fortunately and humbly saying, but I use a salicylic acid as part of my facial skin cleansing regimen at least once or twice a week, okay, because that adds an extra exfoliation component to that. And then, you know, women of all colors and nationalities and skin types should surely add a sun protective factor of at least 15 in their facial moisturizer. So there are lines that you can simply get right at your grocery store or drugstore that literally you can spend under $20 for a good skin face cleanser,
mm-hmm.
and your moisturizer with your SPF, and walk around with beautiful skin from the outside with those particular products. So if you, you know, I teach ingredients. I teach folks to, you know, don't tell me what the front label says. Flip the bottle over. Flip the box if it comes into a box. Look at the ingredients and see what that looks like. Read those first five ingredients and see if any of those make sense to you, because that's what you're going to be buying and that's what you need to focus on.
Dr. Mack, you've pretty much answered all the questions, so I guess the show is over.
Uh-oh. that means you ladies may have lots of questions.
You've hit on some really good points, and especially with the whole salicylic acid. Now, you know, I mean, I can go around and say, oh, you're right. But me as well, I do the same thing. At least, you know, two or three times a week, I'm using a product that has salicylic acid in it. And I rarely ever break out.
Right. But I bet your skin stays clear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
yes, okay.
Definitely. But ingredients are important. I think when shopping for skincare products, I mean, that's the first thing you should look for, not necessarily the brand, not necessarily how much it costs, but I think we should be looking for certain ingredients to treat, you know, whatever we have going on. Or just as a basic, you know, for a basic routine for whatever our skin type is, and it's important that we know what our skin type is.
Absolutely. And there's lots of people out here, honestly, that don't have a skincare routine and don't, quite frankly, know what their skin type is.
Right.
But I still say this, if you use those two little secrets of combining an alpha hydroxy acid, which is, like I said, the glycolic acid, they're the fruit acids is what we refer them to, you know. And if you're using that, I mean, think about back in the day, Cleopatra soaking in sour milk. You know why? Because it was high components of lactic acid.
Right.
Well, lactic acid is a fruit acid, and that helps to exfoliate the skin, so the skin comes out looking beautiful.
Right.
Because one thing that people fail to do is to scrub enough.
Mm-hmm.
I get on people all the time about saying, you know, you can shower all you want to, but are you scrubbing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if not, you still have a lot of buildup of old dead skin cells. It's lending for bacteria to build in there, which is not going to smell fresh, of course, and the skin is not going to look as healthy as it can. And so when people say, you know, I'm getting a lot of breakouts, I'm getting a lot of dry skin. Well, you know what? Honestly, it may not be dry skin that's the issue. It may just be because your skin is peeling off and it looks dry,
yeah.
You know? And so that's why it's important to exfoliate. I think that's probably like my biggest secret to share with folks when it comes to facial and body skin care is the more you can exfoliate, the better. So pick up one of those little facial brushes. You know, there's many different brands out there. There's microdermabrasion tools, handheld tools. There's facial scrubs that come in a product form. Whatever, you know, whatever fancies you, you know, would be great for that.
Mhm. Yeah. And I think for me, my biggest thing is exfoliation and moisturizing.
Yes.
And when,
gotta put the moisture back into the skin, absolutely.
Yeah.
And one thing that you don't want to do is use that same moisturizer that you're putting on your body. Don't put it on your face.
Oh, my God.
That's another show. Oh, right. That's another show, and that tackles my men because that's a common.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, my God. Men will say, well, you know, I can't have all these different lotions going on and this, that, and the other. But if you really want to maintain good skin grooming practices, then yes, you will. You'll find a facial product that's okay for your face, and then there's one for the body, because clearly the ones for the body have heavier oils and creams in there that actually are pore clogging. So
right.
That same sort of, you know, in today's time, these marketing companies, let me tell you, because I'm a manufactured product, I understand, they will take one word, they'll take, say, oh, we're using olive oil, and I love olive
right.
oil, but they'll use, they'll take shea butter, and they'll say all of these things, and they'll have them in your lotion that you use for your body, but I'd be darned if you better put that on your face. Because you're going to end up with an acne form type of rash that's going to start forming. And this has commonly happened. This goes into my point about, you know, hair products. A lot of women end up with the forehead rash. You know, they're wearing, a, you know, they're using products or sprays or gels or hair creams or whatever that contain these oils. Same type of oils that they'll market in your body lotions will be used in the hair lotions, and then, of course, now it's getting on your face, and then now it's what we call comedogenic, meaning comedone forming, meaning, you know, pore clogging. And so this becomes a problem, and so a lot of women say, you know, I never used to get acne. Dr. Mack, why am I getting acne now? And then so when we go, dive deeply into, well, what's your hair care regimen? You know what I mean? Or what's the lotion that you're using in your body? Are you just slathered on your face in the morning? Well, this isn't good. You know, you clearly should have a routine. I tell women and men, get up and set a routine for yourself every day. I have a routine. I get up at least 10, 15 minutes before I get my kids up. And my routine is to first and foremost take care of me, because if I'm not right, I can't make sure my kids are right or my husband and everybody else is right. So get, you know, that 15 minutes is for me time.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up, you look in the mirror at yourself, right?
Right.
You say, okay, I need to brush my teeth, and then I need to properly cleanse my face. I have been sleeping 8 hours, if you're lucky, some maybe six or four or two or whatever the case may be. The bottom line is the face has built up with skin cells overnight. This needs to come off. And surely if you wash that makeup off that night before, and I'm a big advocate of makeup because especially for the purpose of protecting the skin pores, but surely
right.
you need to wash that stuff off at night,
right.
you know, and you need to make sure that you need to make sure that you follow that skincare regimen in the morning, okay? And so spend that quality time for yourself grooming, and that's so critical, and then properly moisturizing. Then now what I call you're ready now to you're prepared to meet your public. You know, I have this big image thing. People say, you know, I stay at your house, Charlamagne. You come and you're together. Well, I've been, you know, taught that since the beginning of time. You know, I grew up in a household looking at my mom, and she had herself together. Looking at her sisters, they had themselves together, and I think that's great for ladies to be able to look at that. And so I challenge ladies now, get up, and men, get up and have your own little 10 to 15 minutes, what I call me mirror time and grooming time, and just start practicing good skincare, because this is one thing that I have found that's missing. I'll ask people, well, how many times do you wash your face? Well, one time, or I'll take the washcloth and after I get out the shower and rub it across my face. Well, that's a no-no.
Right.
That's a whole nother conversation, as you
yeah.
know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a few questions from the chat room.
Okay, very good.
Let me start with a question that I had. If someone was lactose intolerant, would they be allergic to lactic acid or products with milk in it?
Not from a topical standpoint, because lactose intolerance is where there's absence or there's lack of the lactase enzyme in the small intestine. So when you eat anything that has lactose in there, and by the time it gets to the small intestine, if that small intestine doesn't have that lactase enzyme, you're going to be in trouble, okay? But it has nothing to do from a topical standpoint. There's not the absorption is different. That's the lactic acid is working from an external standpoint from the skin, not from the small intestine, which happens with lactose intolerance.
Okay, so what would you say to someone who breaks out whenever they use some product like, you know, some type of product with lactic acid in it?
Typically, it's from more of an irritant instead of an allergic reaction.
Gotcha.
Alpha hydroxy acids, which that falls into that category, mm-hmm. typically causes irritant, like an irritant contact dermatitis, more so than an allergic contact dermatitis. Okay, and this is quite common when you're first using any sort of hydroxy acids because they can be very caustic to the skin. So it may take a few moments for you to get used to, but don't stop using it unless you're starting, you know, you may use it maybe once a week instead of maybe trying to do it every other day, you know what I mean? So, but if you're finding that it's still continuously being a problem, then it may not necessarily be the lactic acid for you to focus on. You might need to look at what other ingredients that's in that particular product.
Gotcha, because I'm thinking – if that person is used to using other glycolic acids,
then their skin is definitely
hydroxy acids, maybe like a glycolic or something. I'm just wondering how is it that the
right then their skin is definitely used to having hydroxy acids, but what's going on is there's some other component to that product.
Gotcha.
That may be making them allergic.
Gotcha.
And that's quite common actually.
Okay. Sharon Tina is she doesn't have a skincare regimen, so she's wondering where does she start.
She needs to do that 10 to 15 thing I talked about earlier. That mirror and me time, 10 to 15 minutes. You wake up before you even get thinking about getting your day going and your shower going. You wake up, brush your teeth, you look in the mirror at yourself and say, okay, it's time to wash my face. Pick up a good all-in-one cleanser with a alpha hydroxy. Get your skin used to that alpha hydroxy because it's not as though you're going to be allergic to it. Your skin just needs to get used to it, and you need to get rid of if you haven't had a skin routine, you definitely have a lot of buildup of old dead skin cells in the skin. I'm sure, even though I'm not looking at it, I can probably tell you that it's not looking as fresh as it will start looking once tonight when, you know, she starts doing this routine. By the morning time, it's going to be a whole different looking skin. And if you don't even have some sort of scrub or whatever, you can simply take some little sugar crystals and add them to some sort of face wash that you have. The whole point is let's start getting rid of some of the old dead skin cells on a regular basis. Maybe not every day, maybe every couple of days when you're first getting started with that. And then definitely a moisturizer with an SPF. Then follow it up with, yes, a makeup, either a brush-on powder, or if you do the foundation, make sure it's oil-free. But I am a big advocate that the final part of skincare for all ladies, mandatory, is some sort of makeup. Whether it's a powder finish your skin color or the foundation. The reason I say this is because when you walk, when you put on that moisturizer, your pores are still open.
Right.
They're open to the environmental elements. They're open to your skin, your hands touching from the phones, from the computer, from this, that. You're touching your pores, and you're allowing all that gook to get in your pores.
Right.
If you have a protective layer, however, and you ladies are in makeup, so you understand what I'm saying, the
yes.
final part of skincare is finishing your face with some sort of powder. Every day, wash my face, put moisturizer, and I'll just take a big powder brush, dip it in my little face powder, boom, and brush my face, and I'm good. You know, you don't have to do all the fancy makeup and all that kind of stuff
right.
every day, but you need to close those pores. Closing those pores is more than just closing it in cold water, which is what we've historically just heard.
Right.
I take it a step further. You've got to close those pores with some sort of particulate matter like the makeup, okay? Like I said, it could be something simple, fresh, with a brush, boom, 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 you're good. It's, you know, you don't even look like you have makeup on because that's not what it's looked at. It's clearly a protective layer for your skin. It not only protects from the environmental elements, such as the UV rays, but also the allergens and all the stuff that's in the air. So then when you come home, you're washing all that stuff out in the sink. You're not allowing it to absorb in your skin. Okay, this is why folks are looking older, younger. You know what I mean? So you want to really, that's definitely an added value there. So yeah, those would be my main key points. Wash your face, moisturize it, and then finishing off with some sort of powder of some sort.
Okay. And Janelle is wondering, what can help with the appearance of dark under eye circles besides covering it with makeup?
Okay, well, the makeup definitely is going to be great for the whole imaging, but definitely no to hydroquinone. This is the biggest mistake that's given out to us as women of color, especially when we go into the office, you know, a dermatologist's office that really may not know skin of color. One of the biggest mistakes is they'll give us a cream that has hydroquinone, which is a no-no. Hydroquinone is a lightening agent, okay? Dark under-eye circles is not due to excess color, which means that hydroquinone is a bleaching agent. There's no extra color to bleach out. The problem is that the under-eyelid skin is very thin skin, okay? So you've got blood vessels that are right below that under-eyelid area, okay? They become pronounced. And it is a hereditary component of this, of course. And because they're pronounced, that broken blood vessels are going to be visual through the skin and make the skin appear dark underneath the eye, because also the under-eyelid area has less collagen there, you know, and especially as someone is getting older, the skin is getting thinner and thinner. So my answer is this. Definitely it's a no-no to hydroquinone. All these fancy, you know, eye-plumping creams and honestly, ladies, no disrespect to the companies that put those out there. They just don't work. So I'm not saying that I have the full answer, but I can say that I have one of the answers, and I've been very successful with the use of my supplement, Bella Nutri, which has a patented collagen in it that actually helps from the inside to really start reducing the appearance, because you're now getting the collagen that has depleted itself over the years, getting it plumped up from the internal. Understand, if you really want a good skin, talk to me when you start doing something from the internal instead of all of these topical grease and lotion and potions. And people tell me, oh, well, I spent $200 on your face cream. I say, well, you're a fool. You could have taken that $200 and spent it on your cell phone bill or whatever you needed to do. But the bottom line is we have to start learning, ladies, to start taking an internal approach to our skin and hair, not just the external. So to answer her question about dark circles, definitely avoid the bleaching agents. Make sure that, you know, she can continue the makeup and so forth as a covering. But, you know, start taking things, you know, doing things from the inside, which is going to plump up that under-eye area to reduce the appearance so that it doesn't look so dark.
What about the use of eye creams to just add moisture in that area?
Well, you can use any moisturizer for that matter. See, those are all marketing words.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? There's many companies out here, they're looking for the next name to put on the front label of the bottle. But they might take that same lotion that was used from head to toe and put it in a different bottle with a different label on there, and you bought it because you bought into what the marketing. You know, I'll never forget meeting with a big name brand company about products and so forth, and I'm sitting in the room and thinking that I'm talking to a group of chemists that develop products, but you know what, I'm talking to a room of folks that came out of college with a marketing degree. And I'm not saying anything against what I'm saying is that these companies invest in the marketing. They're not concerned about necessarily does it really work. They're concerned about can they just sell this product. And that's where I draw the line, because I'm concerned about, yes, I'm about developing products, but I'm about developing products that work, because it's about the longevity and it's about the integrity and the credibility and the building of the brand for the long haul. So if you look at the history of lots of different companies, you'll see one product here today and it's gone tomorrow. They'll be on the shelf for 2 or 3 months and then it'll be gone. And you wonder why that happens. Like, man, I've been trying to look for that product or whatever. Well, it had its run. Well, if it was really doing something, don't you think they would have kept it around? And so that's the same thing that goes on with these different eye creams. I mean, it's a gazillion of them on the shelf, and But the bottom line, they all provide moisture. So just make sure you get yourself a good moisturizing cream, a face cream, and just make sure that's different. Once again, that's from the body, because what they do is, you know, they don't have the heavy oils that are put in the body lotions. So you don't want to have that.
And what about some of the eye products that have vitamin K in them?
Vitamin K is really used a lot for helping with anti-clotting, and that's the whole, you know, that's can be quite helpful, is what the theories are showing to be, as far as from a topical perspective, with the under-eye dark circles and helping to maybe close over some of those blood vessels and things of that nature, you know. But, ladies, once again, topical things can do but so much, because skin starts from the inside, and topical products cannot really absorb internally. They're on the surface, you know. So, you know, the creams, they're great, and they're fancy, and they may smell good and make your bathroom counter look beautiful or your cosmetic case look fancy, but is it really making a difference? And oftentimes you never know, because by the time that you run out of that cream, most oftentimes you're not going back to buy more. You're going to buy a different brand. So we flip products. There's product junkies galore across the country, you know, and that's just the way it is. And companies know that. So they might take that same product and didn't change the ingredients, slap a different label on it and change the box and give you a different product that you think. And that this is what happens. So I love what I do, ladies, because I'm in the I've been deep in manufacturing a product since, you know, since the late 90s, you know. So I've kind of been in that back room of really understanding product development and manufacturing. But then I've also been in the ear, one-on-one with my direct consultation to consumers, to hear their feedback. See, I know what people are thinking. Probably to date, I've spoke to millions of people directly, because this is what I do all day, every day. I'm on my phones, direct consultation through my multimedia, whether it's coming from the magazine, whether it's coming from the Steve Show, the Russ Parr Show, whoever I'm working with. It's hearing, I'm listening to what people are saying. And so I act on that. I try to take that valuable information of people's real desires and needs and say, well, what do we need to produce next? If of course, manufacturing is a very expensive sort of deal. So it's an expensive industry that I have to deal with of trying to get all this done. But also this is why it's great when I partner as a consultant to other mainstream companies that are developing products to try to make sure that they're putting products out there that are really going to do something for people, you know. So I'm about just giving people real results, because I think, you know, the one thing that you have in life is your name, and I take very much pride in that, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about those people who have dark elbows and knees. How do we deal with that?
Exfoliation.
Yes.
Because, okay, think about elephant skin. Elephant skin is, you know, you look at it and it's all crunched together, and it looks dark in certain areas because the skin is all crunched together. Stretch that skin out. It's going to look normal, right? Well, there's extra skin that was naturally made for our elbows and our knees to do what? Because we've got to flex and bend them. So if they're not, you know, if it's kind of extended, it's going to look dark because the skin is crunched together. So it's not necessarily dark from pigment, once again. It's dark because all that skin is clumped together, and you've got a buildup of skin cells that just need to come off. So oftentimes you can improve the color, which is not really color. It's just you can get that appearance better by more exfoliation of those knees and those elbows. So this is where there's, you know, lotions that contain lactic acid. One of my tricks of the trade, and this may sound crazy, is foot cream. That sounds crazy, But if you go to your drugstore and you go to the foot cream department, foot creams contain higher percentages of the beta hydroxy acid, like the salicylic acid, or they even contain lactic acid, or they even contain urea. All of those are very good exfoliants for the skin, and they're generally in a higher percentage in foot cream. So I'll say, look, take some foot cream, put it on your elbow at night, and put it on your knee. And if you find the area getting a little bit too sensitized, then you may want to do it maybe every couple of days instead of every day. But I bet your bottom dollar in about 2 weeks, you're going to see an improvement in the way that that elbow and knees look. So, ladies, start that process in February. So by the time the spring sets in, the elbows will look cute and the knees.
So you're saying foot cream, meaning like
foot cream is, yeah. You go to the drugstore, you go to the foot cream department.
Like exfoliate feet.
Yeah, the ones that say like heel balm or.
Gotcha. Okay.
Once again, don't look at the front label. Just go to the foot cream department, and you flip the back, turn the back of the bottles over, and you look, or the tubes of cream or whatever, look at the active ingredient. You look for things like lactic acid.
Right.
You look for things like salicylic acid, and you look for things like urea. Okay? Generally, in foot creams, they have a higher percentage than they're used in regular skin lotions or facial lotions.
Okay.
You got what I'm saying? So this is why a heavy, higher percentage is okay to use on your elbows and knees, because that's thicker, thicker skin.
Yeah.
And gives beautiful results.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. So we have more questions from the chat room.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to kind of group them. Sherry is asking, how does she combat hyperpigmentation, and can darkness under the eyes caused by broken blood vessels be reverted?
Okay, I guess we talked about that a few minutes ago, but no, they can't. I mean, you know, once it's there, it's there. I mean, you can only help to reduce the appearance. You cannot ever take it away. There are more cosmetic treatments from at a cosmetic dermatologist's office or a plastic surgeon office that have there's different type of pulse dye lasers. You know, there's a whole category of lasers that will help to reduce those broken blood vessel appearance. How much success, it really varies. And I'm very cautious on the use of lasers in skin of color. Even though the laser companies will promote, oh, you'll be okay. It's been approved for all skin types. I'm not convinced, because I want to see what that skin looks like in 5 years. So I tend to bear and be more on the cautious side of things versus, oh, let me do whatever's good for immediate gratification, but then what are we going to look like in 5 years? We're talking about our face.
Right.
So I'm very cautious when it comes to the facial skin. So unless you're light, bright, almost white, I would say no. Okay? To laser, that is. I would stick to, you know, the other things that we talked about earlier, the whole internal approach. Like I said, my supplement Bella Nutri does wonders for under eye circles. Yes, there are topical creams that are still, you know, verdict is still out as to whether or not they can really help to reduce that appearance, but I would definitely lay cautious on the whole laser thing if you're not light, bright, almost white. You know what I mean? You need to have the lightest of skin color, because lasers can surely leave a severe hyperpigmentation, and this could be worse.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I have a question written down here, and I think I got this from the chat room. And the question, and you pretty much answered it, but the question is it always necessary to exfoliate?
Oh, yes, yes, and yes. As I always say, exfoliate, 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 because, you know, skin cells change over like every 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not doing something to help to remove that excess skin, And let's be real, most people live a very quick, fast-paced lifestyle. Get up in the morning, jump in the shower, wash off real quick, and jump out. I mean, are you really cleansing? Are you really exfoliating your skin? No, no, and no. This is why I encourage people, get in the tub every so often. Yeah, men too. Sit down, get your scrub brush, loofah sponge. Just make sure that those sponges and towels and things that you use in the bath, they're dried off completely so they don't get a bacterial buildup. But every so often, I would submit yourself at least once or twice a month, get in the bathtub. That's what the tubs are made for. You've got to soak to get rid of that old dead skin because you're building up with a whole bunch of gook. And then you look and say, why is my skin so dry? It's dry because it's ashy and it's coming off, and it wants to come off. That
right.
extra lotion is not going to help to solve your problem. The extra lotion is going to make it just gook up even more.
Right.
So, yes, exfoliation is very important. That's a very critical part of our skincare routine, honestly, from our head to our toe. That's the scalp included. That's why we need to wash our hair more often. That's part of exfoliating our scalp. When people say, oh, my scalp is dry, you know, yeah, your scalp has yeast buildup because you're not washing it enough. You know, you've got to wash scalp and skin. Skin, scalp needs to be cleansed, not just your hair. See, people think about my hair. No, think about your scalp. Your scalp is the same skin as the back of your neck. So if you wash your neck every day, why do you wait for 1 or 2 weeks to wash the skin on the top of your head?
Right.
So it's all, you know, we need to exfoliate our body really from head to toe, and it's just so critical. But people, you know, lots of us, we don't learn that, you know, and we can't blame us because if you don't know it, you're not going to do it. But definitely moving forward, I would encourage people to really start trying to just make this part of their normal routine. It's really, you'll start seeing a difference. You know, that morning me time that I talk about, that 10, 15 minutes, you'll get up and you'll love looking at me better and better and better every day from head to toe because you'll start to see how you've now unveiled more fresh, healthier skin, scalp, the whole nine yards. You'll have less issues overall.
Now, is exfoliating 3 days a week, is that too much?
Maybe twice a week initially
yeah.
for people that's not used to it. But,
right.
you know, choose a day, you know, a night. Choose a night, you know, two nights a week and just say, okay, that's the night I'm going to, you know, do my skincare routine. You know, you don't have time to maybe do all this in the morning or whatever. But, you know, choose a night before you go to sleep that you're going to do a good exfoliation cleansing and you're going to do your good, you know, bathtub soak or whatever. I mean, these are just all critical parts of just being fresh and being groomed properly for, you know, makes you feel better. Heck,
right.
It makes your clothes feel better on you. Yeah. You ladies know what I'm talking about.
Now, how about talk a little bit about sunscreen and how important is it for women of color to wear sunscreen?
Oh, that's definitely a great question because, you know, we've been taught for so many years, oh, well, we've got color in our skin, we don't need to put sunscreen on. False, false, and false. You know, the ozone layer is, you know, definitely changed or rapidly changing and, you know, our skin is, we're just getting more exposed to ultraviolet rays that are very
right.
harsh. You know, both the ultraviolet A, which I always say the A stands for helping the, you know, encouraging the skin to age more when you have more UVA exposure, and then UVB rays, ultraviolet B, B for burn, which the more you burn, the more the skin is going to look bad as well. So all skin types, no matter how light or how dark you are prone to ultraviolet exposure and damage. Even the fluorescent lights at your workplace. And I know people say, fluorescent lights? Yes. Fluorescent lights are part of the ultraviolet spectrum and are just as sun damaging, okay, which is why it's so critical winter, summer, spring, or fall, you need to have your moisturizer with an SPF of at least 15 because by FDA standards, they set 15 as a sun protectant factor number. You know, you don't have to look for the 48 and 98. I mean, that's all marketing too now. So as long as you're 15, at least 15, you're good. And that should just be part of your daily routine. You wash your face, you put your moisturizer on there with SPF, and then you're doubly protecting yourself from a women's standpoint when you brush the powder across your face. That's adding an extra protection. So, yeah, so that's very important, yeah. Because, I mean, we're still getting skin cancers, you know, and when we get them, we get melanoma, which is bad. So if you start seeing some sort of hyperpigmented, irregular-looking area on your face, on your ear, on your hands, on your feet, what we call acral areas of our body, that's where we as folks of color tend to get skin cancers. So, you know, when you put on your sun, this brings it to the point of saying when you put on your sunscreen, you want to make sure that you're covering your face, your neck, putting some on your ears. And, you know, you don't have to make it a big deal. It's just lotion. You just make sure you're lotion.
What about, like, inside your ear as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The whole ear. Because that's, if we're going to get skin cancer, that's where we get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our ear, our palms, our soles, those are what we, you know, once again, they're called acral areas of the body. So, yeah, very important to do that, no matter how light, bright you are or how dark, beautiful you are.
Let me ask another question. I have a client who used a new product, and I can't remember if it was like a soap. It was something to cleanse the face with. I don't know if it was like one of those bars of soap.
Okay.
Or if it was an actual liquid cleanser. But anyway, she used it, and at one point it began to burn, and then there was a like a mark that came up on her face.
Mm-hmm.
That eventually left.
Okay.
Is it safe to say that the product was causing it and they should stop using it?
Or? Yeah, it sounds like she may have gotten burned from, it probably had some sort of alpha or beta hydroxy acid in that product that caused her, that caused the area to burn on her face. And anytime you get any inflammation or reaction on our skin, it's going to lend to become hyperpigmented, meaning leave dark mark, okay? And over time, that usually gets better just because the more you exfoliate the skin, you can actually improve the appearance of any dark marks or whatever. But, yes, there was probably some sort of, you know, caustic ingredient like one of the hydroxy acids that was in that stimulate that sort of irritant reaction and left the hyperpigmentation there. So yeah, but I think it was just more of an irritant versus an allergic. If it was allergic, she would have had the associated, you know, itching and rash all over her face and all that kind of stuff.
Okay,
but
right.
You could just say, you know, it was just kind of one kind of localized area. She might have scratched herself prior, and then when she used, you know, or she might have had some sort of pre-existing area there, and then when she went to put this facial lotion that might have had one of the, you know, a hydroxy acid in there, that could have just kind of upset that area a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and whenever things like that happen, I always tell folks, keep a tube of hydrocortisone cream in your makeup bag or your little overnight bag or your doctor, you know, your shelf, bathroom shelf or whatever. Because, you know, the facial skin is very forgiving, and hydrocortisone ointment is very good on helping to reduce any sort of immediate inflammation. And just a little dab will do, you know, it's not going to hurt you, and it's just going to help to just soothe that area. So any time, at any site of any insult, on especially the facial skin, if you got some sort of low inflammation, even if it's an acne bump and you've been picking at it or whatever, you better put some little hydrocortisone on there so you can get that inflammation down, because that bump is going to really turn black.
Oh,
you know,
a lot
of, I mean, it's going to probably have a dark color anyway, because our skin hyperpigments. You know, it gets extra color when there's any inflammation, but you can reduce your risk of that extra color if you just keep that little tube of hydrocortisone handy.
Right.
And Danny has a question. She's wondering, she said she's been getting her eyebrows and chin threaded because she was burned last year from waxing.
Okay.
And she's wondering, after threading, small bumps appeared overnight. Any thoughts on why this happened?
Well, that generally happens with any sort of, like, hair removal process, whether it's, you know, whether it's waxing or threading, because those follicles are very sensitive in the facial skin area. I can tell you one of the tricks that I personally do, because I love freshly waxed eyebrows, is I will take a container, a little thing of Visine. Sounds mm-hmm. crazy, ladies. Let's follow me here. You take some Visine with you, whether or not you're getting your eyebrows threaded, waxed, whatever, plucked. What Visine has in it, it helps to vasoconstrict, which means it helps to close over any sort of blood vessels in those areas. That it ultimately helps to reduce any sort of inflammation surrounding those hair follicles as well. So immediately after, I mean, like when I get into the salon, I'll just put a little bit of Visine on my eyebrow, okay? Then they'll do the waxing. And then as soon as the waxing is done and it comes off, boom, I put my Visine there. And it's almost no sort of irritant rash, because probably 90% of folks will get an irritant rash from any sort of eyebrow, anything, whether it's threading or waxing or whatever. But that is one of the great over-the-counter tricks of the trade. Pick up a thing of Visine and keep it in your handbag. And then if that doesn't, if you still are having a little more irritation after that, that same hydrocortisone cream that I talked about earlier, you do that like every hour for a couple of hours until that inflammation goes away. Because it's just temporary inflammation causing those follicles to become more prominent and look rashy, that's all.
Right.
Yeah, it's usually not persistent.
Now, Dr. Mack, what about men and their razor bump issues?
Ooh, I love that topic. Okay. So men need to do this. Remember I talked about that morning me time for women? Men need to have that too. They need to do that at night. They need to shave at least once a day, every day, or some men may need to shave twice a day. Because the reason razor bumps start is that when they shave, that once that hair starts growing back above the skin surface, because, you know, folks of color that have a thicker texture hair that's curly, it's going to curl back over and re-pierce the skin as soon as it grows just above the skin surface to start making that hair curl. So it creates what we call like a pseudo-inflammation. So pseudo means what? False. So it's like creating this false inflammation of the skin, because that hair, imagine the hair is growing above the skin surface and boom, it's curling back over and re-piercing the skin, and then boom, the bump starts. And then once that bump starts, then if the man is not exfoliating enough, what's happening? Excess skin cells are still building over that bump, okay? So just think about that. The bump has started, and then, boom, you've got more skin cells that's still building and building and building every day, and then they've got these gooky bumps that's growing everywhere. So and to immediately treat the bumps, at least to get the inflammation down, is okay. We've got to make sure, I say, use an oil-free acne wash and a benzoyl peroxide acne gel, because we treat this like we treat acne in its acute, immediate phase, okay? Once the skin has gotten under control, then we don't want this process to happen again, right? So if we don't want the process to happen again, we want to encourage the man to not let the hair grow long above the skin surface too long for it to re-pierce the skin in the first place. So as soon as that man feels that 5 o'clock shadow, guess what he needs to be doing?
He's got to shave.
That's right. So he needs to have his me time twice a day, in the morning and at night, if he's one of those guys that have hair that he can really feel, because definitely by morning time, that hair is going to have grown out long enough, and it's going to curl back over, and he might even have a whole bunch more bumps. So as I teach my husband, who humbly saying has gotten smooth skin, matter of fact, we will be together 19 years tomorrow, January 23rd. And ever since we've been dating, I haven't had an issue. He had a few little bumps here and there, even when we first met back in 93, but no more since. And it's just that it's because of that principle, you know, shaving more frequently. And then they, too, men still need to also make sure to have a moisturizer. You know, it could just be something simple, generic moisturizer, facial moisturizer with SPF at the local Target or CVS. It doesn't matter.
Right. Now that whole thing about the men shaving every day, I wouldn't think, I guess I never thought about, you know, what it's actually doing, but I guess, I mean, it makes sense when you really explain it the way you have. But I just worked with Cuba Gooding Jr. on a movie last month.
Okay.
And he has the nicest skin I think I've ever seen on a man.
Okay.
It's very oily, but his skin is very smooth. And he said he shaves every single day.
He must have heard the Dr. Mac tip.
He must have. He said he shaves every
single
day to prevent razor bumps.
Right. Well, I did that tip immediately. I mean, and actually, if you go to YouTube, I did a razor, because I do skin and hair tips for the artist 50 Cent on thisis50.com. I'm going to be doing a lot more updates and things of that nature, but that one I did on razor bumps, like, immediately, they called me up, like, within 24 hours and was like, we already had, like, 10,000 hits or something ridiculous. Like, they were tripping out because they were like, they did not realize how much men really had this problem. I said, yeah, it's real. But
yeah.
I said, you know, a lot of people just don't understand. They may say, oh, shaving. I was like, look, I'm not going to even listen to these comments because you just don't know. If you listen to what I'm saying and you understand the pathophysiology of what I'm talking about, then you're going to be able to really see how clear and smooth the skin can actually be. So
yeah.
I submit to you, those guys that follow my regimen, they got smooth skin. Those guys that don't, you'll hear from them, you'll see them coming. or their woman will feel what's going on, okay? But it's a thing of just making sure to try to get that hair, keep it under control. It's either growing a full beard and keeping it that way or not keeping hair at all. You know, it's either one or the other.
Right. Now, Lorinda wanted to know, what is the difference between titanium dioxide and zinc oxide as it pertains to SPF and skin irritation?
Right. Those are the, the common ingredients that's used in some, you know, for as far as protection and things of that nature. And some people have, you know, allergic reactions and things of that. It's usually like a trial and error of different types of sunscreen to see if that's a problem for you. If you feel like you're developing a reaction after putting on a sunscreen, definitely that's where your hydrocortisone cream comes into place, using that, you know, every couple of hours to calm that irritation down. But then you might need to, you know, moving forward, look for some sort of those are generally not in, like, the facial they're not heavy in, like, the facial moisturizers. Those are generally in a lot of the UV blockers. I mean, you know, like the sun blockers and things, the ones that are when you're going to the beach and things of that nature. They're not as heavy in the in like the facial lotions. But once again, with any product, if you're noticing any sort of irritation, you know, from itching or, you know, because these are common reactions. People do get allergic to the ingredients in sunscreens. So, this is something where you may have to visit your dermatologist to be able to go through some patch testing to find out, you know, what in fact you're allergic to, because it's not an excuse to not to use sunscreen at all. You know what I mean? And at least in the meantime, if you are allergic and you can't figure it out, just once again make sure you're protecting those pores. Once again, with the, you know, you can brush the, some powder or across your face, something just at least to do that form of protection.
Right. Right.
Now, Dr. Mack, I wanted to ask about a couple of beauty myths or skincare myths, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And I just wanted to know your thoughts on them. Let's see what the first one is here. Moisturizers will make breakouts worse. Is that true or false?
That is false. As long as you're using an oil-free moisturizer, then you're not going to clog your pores, okay? Most moisturizers that are marketed for the face typically will be oil-free. The cost is those people that really don't have a strict facial cleansing and moisturizer routine that will just take that bottle of lotion next to their bedside or at the shower and use some of that and put on their face. This is a no-no because 99% of the time those are comedogenic, meaning pore clogging. So definitely you want to use products that say for the face and say the products for the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I know we talked in detail about sunscreen, but one of the myths I had was that on a cloudy day, there's no need for sun protection.
on a cloudy day? Oh, that's absolutely false because, you know, the UV rays are still emitting through that fog, and what else do you do? It's not fog on the inside, but what's on the inside, as I said earlier? Fluorescent lights at your job place.
Right.
Or if you're walking through the mall or wherever, lights in general are part of the ultraviolet spectrum, which means what? Your daily moisturizer should contain what? Something to protect you from UV rays. UV rays can be from the inside as well as the outside. So year-round, fog, rain, sun, sleet, snow, whatever,
mm-hmm.
definitely wear your moisturizer with an SPF of at least 15.
And, you know, that's good that you bring that up about the fluorescent lights in your home because a lot of, this doesn't have anything to do with the sunscreen, but a lot of people, you know, who may be oily or just have like a normal or combination skin will always complain about, you know, them being extra dry during the winter months. But we all know that we all get a little extra dry during the winter regardless of our skin type. But also you have to keep in mind the heat inside of your homes.
Right, because the heat, I always say, you know, during the wintertime, you know, keep a humidifier in your room so you
mm-hmm.
can kind of keep the moisture in the air. But let's kind of chat a little bit about just the dry skin that people talk about because oftentimes, you know, we're quick to say, oh, I have combination skin, you know.
Right.
And yes, this is true. You know, oftentimes, you know, that T-zone is oily and things of that nature. But then, you know, people start getting the dryness. They'll say, oh, I'm dry along the sides of my nose
right.
and my eyebrows. And okay, well, this is a problem. This is not this is not true combination skin. This is a yeast buildup that's natural. Now, our bodies normally have yeast. We have men, too. Yes, men get yeast, too. And it's the natural yeast that grows in our body that can grow along the sides of our nose, our eyebrows, and our ears, men in the mustache area and also in the beard area. And so you'll look at the skin and say, oh, my skin is looking so dry. No, it's yeast building up on the skin, causing the skin to be very inflamed, and the skin is flaking off. So we treat this by doing what? Okay, write this down. Pick up a medicated shampoo like Head & Shoulders, or Selsun Blue Clear, or any sort of, like, medicated shampoo. But we're going to use this on our face. And we're going to put it on like a lotion, and we're going to leave it on there, you know, wet your face a little bit and leave it on there for a good, like, 1 to 2 minutes. Allow for that active medicated ingredient, and there's things like zinc, pyrithione, selenium sulfide, to name a few, okay? Those need to absorb into that face, along those yeasty areas, along the sides of the nose, along the eyebrows, along in the ears. you wash your face off, and then this is where that handy-dandy tube of hydrocortisone cream y'all heard me talk about earlier, this is where you need to use that like once or twice a day. So that extra dry skin oftentimes is not just because it's dry because of lack of moisture. Uh-huh. It's dry because there's yeast built up there. And where does this come from? You know what it often comes from? And I'm not saying anything negative against folks that do have this problem, but sometimes it comes because the skin has not been washed enough, hasn't been exfoliated enough. So if you've got built, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation. If you allow enough skin cells to build up on top of skin cells, on top of skin cells, you get what? Bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
You get bacteria, you get yeast, you get all kind of things, you know. But these are all easy to get rid of. So I just like to bring things to the awareness, not to make people say, ugh, you know. I'm just enlightening you. So that then maybe moving forward, we won't, you know, we'll help to reduce our risk of getting these type of things. But oftentimes when I hear people say, oh, I'm dry in certain areas, and I'll say, where? I already know where they're telling me.
Right.
So you know what I mean? So you pick up your medicated shampoo, dandruff shampoo, you wash your face with that, leave it on there 1 or 2 minutes, you wash that off. Use your hydrocortisone cream, boom, 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 and within a week's time period, you're all better. So a lot of times you'll see people with, you know, little red splotches along the nose or the cheek, extended to the cheeks. You may say, oh, I got to put extra little makeup there or whatever the case may be. So that should really help with that.
Right.
Okay, so speaking of, I have a question about if you had any suggestions for natural hair shampoos and conditioners.
Mm-hmm. Just don't use a conditioner that say conditioner only shampoo,
mm-hmm.
or the soapless. This is one of my pet peeves. When I hear people say they don't want a soapless shampoo or something, you've heard of those before,
mm-hmm.
where people say, you know, they'll use one of these shampoos that they don't need to wash the hair with water.
Right.
Water is critical. Water is a critical part of the activation of ingredients in the lathering and the necessary exfoliation of the scalp. Hair is a skin appendage, which means it's a part of our skin that's just extending and needs to be exfoliated as well. So you just can't, you know, a lot of companies with these different products that say for natural and this, that, and the other, oftentimes, you know, it's not necessarily natural, especially if it's on a store shelf. Really can't claim to be natural. You know
right.
why?
Right.
Because anything that stays on a store shelf past 7 days,
right,
it's not going to be fresh if it's natural. So, this is what I tell people. If you go to a store and a product is being marketed as a natural product, and it's on that store shelf, can't be natural. How's it going to withstand? Natural can only, things are natural in the refrigerator, and we're told to do what? We're told to throw out things after 7 to 10 days. Heck, if you've opened it up after 7 days, you better throw it out.
Yep.
That's natural, okay? So when you go to, when you see products at the store that say natural that you bought at the store, this can't be natural. It has to have some sort of preservative to make it withstand the shipping. Okay?
Exactly.
It's come from a warehouse.
Because
you know.
It wasn't created the day you got it.
It goes back, ladies, to what I've been talking about all the time. Manufacturers continue to fool us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the biggest, like, really buyers, especially when it comes to, like, hair care products. And we just believe anything. So that's where my passion and love is just, I just want to infiltrate the minds of millions of, especially us as folks of color. Yeah, I can talk to all races, because I do. But my main focus is what? It's especially people of color, because we need the information. We're out here spending our hard-earned dollars on products. We're being bamboozled by what we see on the front labels, and we're believing it. And it hurts my heart. That's why I will continue to do what I do, because the more that I can put my information into the minds of others, I'm like hoping that, okay, maybe you'll take away what I say and go share that with your cousin, your aunt, your friend, your girlfriend, or whoever. Because it's a real problem. You know, we're just being sold whatever. And guess what? We're believing it and we're buying it. And that's why we can go. I submit to women to go after we get off this phone. Go in your cabinet, open up your bathroom shelf, and pull out all your hair and skin products. And then I want them to blog back to you how many skin products they had in their cabinet and how many hair products, and come back to me with those numbers. It's insane. Trust me. Because that's all we're doing is going out here looking at the next label and trying to figure out, okay, because it said this on the front label. And that's why I really like to try to get people, for us to really start turning the back of products over. Just like we're now trained, when you go to the grocery store, what do? We all turn the back of the products over, right?
Right.
We've been trained now to do that. Look at how much sugars and carbs and protein
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. We need to start doing that for our hair products and for our skincare products. And trust me, things will change. People will stop
right.
buying as much foolery, as I call it.
Right.
Exactly.
Let me take a quick call from
sure.
the phone line. I have
okay,
a caller
and then
from
we have
the,
a couple more questions.
Okay. Let me take a call from the 917 area code. Let's see here.
That's
hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who's this?
Hi, this is Brandilyn. How are you?
Hi, Brandilyn.
Hi. I just tuned in towards the end of the conversation, but I've learned so much in the last probably 15, 20 minutes, and I just want to thank you for being on the show. I actually have a question, like a follow-up question regarding the quote-unquote dry skin
okay.
problem areas that people see. And, and as a makeup artist, I'm really, really glad to know a little bit further why this particularly happens. So now I can educate, you know, my clients and educate people that I, you know, provide makeup services for. My question as a makeup artist is regarding the yeast buildup in these
okay.
areas. How... Well, first of all, like when you're doing, let's say, you know, makeup for a bridal party, or you're doing with a client for one time or something like that, I mean, obviously you can educate someone on what they need to do, but what can we do as makeup artists on the spot? Because now I'm kind of concerned with is this bacteria being transferred within makeup brushes? I mean, I just kind of was like, I mean, because it's an interesting thought. I mean, I always think about, oh, people don't know how to wash their faces, or they may
right.
not spend enough time washing their face. And so, of course, you always do a quick cleansing, and, you know, I use pre-cleanse from Dermalogica, or, you know, I may use a makeup wipe or something to kind of prep this, you know, just start off as clean as I can do it. But,
okay.
I mean, I'm kind of feeling like, what do we, I mean, because sometimes, like, when you see, like, dead skin in the brow, I will just kind of, you know, mist a little, you know, water or something, or brush through it with a mascara wand to kind of get that dead hair, I mean, dead
right.
skin out the way to at least, you know, move forward with the makeup process. But what is the quick, well, as a makeup artist and you're, you know, working on a client and you have, you know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes, do you have any suggestions for that? Yeah.
Okay, well, once you've cleansed the client's skin and you may see some little redness or dryness in certain areas, that's where your cosmetic bag should always contain some sort of little hydrocortisone cream, okay?
Okay.
Just to put in those areas. Don't fret, because it's not a contagious thing. It's not as though if, you know, your makeup brush end up with someone's little dry flakes that were yeasty, that now you're going to now transfer that yeast to your next client or whatever. It's not that kind of thing. It's not. We don't have to be that paranoid. But I would suggest that after you've done every makeup session, that you take your brushes, you clean them. If you can't clean them, washing them, zap them in the microwave for a minute. Boom, it's done, okay? So every place has microwaves. And if you've been with a client and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this client had a lot of excess skin cells and what's going on here, find a microwave real quick, throw those makeup brushes in there real fast, and it's done, okay? But don't feel that it's a contagious thing, because it's one of those things that naturally occurs on all of us, you know?
Right.
I get
right.
it. You get it. Your mama, your cousin, everybody gets it. It's just a matter of being able to how to properly handle it and reduce our risk of it, because it's something that's natural, you know?
Right, right. And I'm glad that, you know, you went into extensive detail, because I honestly see it a lot when I'm doing makeup. And it always used to, I'm like, why is this happening to people? Like, you know, like what's going on? And so, I mean, and I personally, for I guess maybe because I do have, like, my intensive skincare regimen, and
right.
I do a number of things personally, and I'm always in the mirror doing whatever. I've never experienced it personally, but I have found it very common when I'm doing makeup, you know, especially in large groups or, you know, and so I just kind of, I'm glad that you touched on that, and I actually never carry hydrocortisone cream with me, but I will start
yes.
from the conversation. So
make sure
you
keep these ladies that are the makeup artists. Make sure you keep a tube of hydrocortisone cream, okay, and also get the cream and the ointment, because the ointment is more of like a Vaseline kind of feel. And so if you see, you know, an area around the hairline or the ears that are a little bit more dry, then that those are more conducive to use the ointment, the greasier kind on the ear and around the hairline, but on the face itself, because you're going to be putting on the makeup, then use the cream. Okay, and then also keep that little container of Visine that we talked about, because you might, even though the client may have come there with their eyebrows done already, you may need to do a little bit of last-minute plucking here and there, and then after you pluck, boom, put that little Visine on the eyebrow area to reduce that immediate inflammation. And let's see, what are some other little hand cosmetic bag creams? I would say those are kind of like the, I mean, that's what I keep in my bag. So, it's, you know, I'm just telling you what, they're just quick things that I keep, and I think that you can never go wrong just by having that. So those are just, that's it. But
thank you so much.
Hopefully that helped, and definitely you can always, Brandilyn, email me through my drmacklin.com. I'm always accepting of questions. This is just what I do. I love it. So I welcome the questions, okay?
Oh, great. Actually, you know, I do have one more question now that I'm here. I'm my biggest obsession with skincare is eye cream.
So
I was just, you know, if you would like to talk, you know, about any of your favorite eye creams or, you know, common concerns.
I don't use them.
I don't
use them. I don't use them. They're not necessary.
Okay, so help me understand, because I am,
what
my
is it
eye
that
area
you're
is...
Cheap? What is it in the eye area that's the issue, and then maybe I can better direct you.
Okay, so my eyes are naturally, they just naturally kind of bulge, and,
okay.
like, you know, that's just kind of how my eyes sit. So so I have a little bit of darkness, but mainly I'm just really, so I have a lot of skin in that area, just naturally.
Yes.
And so I'm always trying to be preventative to, especially since I've moved to New York, it seems as if a very tired-looking eye or very dehydrated eye area is of my biggest concern. And so I always am trying out different eye creams and things of that nature to, you know, not look any older than I am, and just maybe look more awake and things of that nature.
All you're needing to do is just add more, you know, just more of whatever cream that you're using. Add it a little bit heavier at night, okay? You can
okay.
always add. I'm a big fan of olive oil for the full body.
Okay.
You know, yes, olive oil is an oil, and yes, it too can be what we call comedogenic. Comedogenic means, you know, can pore clogging, okay?
Right.
So, of course, you know, you want to be careful, but you can simply take your basic moisturizer that you use by day, put a few little drops of olive oil in there and pat that along your under eye area, and you've done just as much justice as you've had as spending $300 for that eye cream that you felt good about when you left that store. So
okay. So from a dermatologist standpoint, I mean, do you honestly feel like eye cream is more of an additional marketing? Do you feel like the materials or the ingredients in any of the eye creams are more potent, or that's not necessarily the case?
It is. You know, the bottom line is you just want to impart more, as much moisture as you can, because that area of the facial skin is the thinnest part. You know, part of your facial skin. So,
right.
You know, it's going to look dry and it's going to look crunchy up underneath there. So the more that you can just, like, keep it moist, you know, your best, your favorite routine should be your nighttime routine. And that's
right.
Taking time to put a heavy layer of cream, you know, good facial wash, you know, good, you know, do your scrub, you know, once or twice a week. And then make sure you put your facial moisturizer. It doesn't have to just say eye cream. They sold you because it said what? Eye cream, and you bought it. But I guarantee if I turned the back of that bottle over and I looked at the ingredients, that it was the same as that same facial moisturizer, but they sold it to you as an eye cream, and you probably spent three or four times more because it was a higher demand product.
I see.
So
I see.
Get used to looking at the back of the labels just like you do when you go to the grocery store. Okay.
I'm
telling you, it's serious. It works, because you'll save yourself tons of money on all of these, like, miscellaneous products that are out here that are just trying to bamboozle us to get them, because they think that we just don't know. Tell them now. Say, now I know. Okay?
Right.
Because
sounds good.
A lot of those creams that are at the fancy stores and things of that nature, I can tell you exactly what's that same product at your local CVS or Target.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not one that you can sell anything to. I mean, I've
mm-hmm.
done the whole retail route myself.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's just that I for whatever reason, and you know, you may be able to help me figure out what ingredients or products that do this, but there has been. In addition to the increased moisture,
mm-hmm.
I do also feel that,
some eye cream
may help with the not discoloration, but they may have light reflective properties in it to kind of help with, you know, when you apply concealer and things of that nature. I don't necessarily know if those are added benefits, or is that something that, as makeup artists, we can go ahead and naturally take care of that with the concealers and things that we already use.
Right. I mean, I think the... I think just the overall thing that we need to know is just, you know, look at your ingredients, try to figure out what your underlying problem is, you know, look
mm-hmm.
at your ingredients, and then figure out, okay, is this going to help towards whatever my underlying issue is, you know? I mean, you know, it sometimes it becomes a trial and error thing of this. One works better than the other, whatever. But, you know, there's absolutely no need to spend, you know, tons and tons of money unnecessarily.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I was just in Sephora the other day, and I was looking at companies that have eye creams for $95. I'm like, you guys got to be kidding me, right, you know? So,
right.
I mean, I completely understand, like, you know, you have to definitely check out these products and look at the ingredients and look at what's active and what's, like, they only put, like, you know, 0.005% of an ingredient to, you know, and then that's their new marketing ploy. Like, I completely understand all of that.
Right.
So, you know, but, I mean, but me being, that's, like, one of my biggest concerns of always trying to make sure, like, you know, that I look like I've received enough sleep and that my eyes don't look, you know, wrinkled and all that type of stuff. And I do know, like, with clients, like, I had a lady earlier today who has, like, increased, you know, it seems like the skin around her eye is thinning. And so that blue and that purple is very, very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, you know, I mean, it's something that's happening as I get older, and I don't necessarily know what to do about it.
So you have to plump up the under eye area. You have to see, naturally, as we get older, we're losing what? Collagen. Baby skin is soft and smooth because of what? They got a heck of an amount of collagen. Collagen goes along with high amounts of hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is the glue that holds our skin cells together. So a baby has extremely high amounts. That's why the baby skin's so soft and smooth, because, heck, they've got a lot of hyaluronic acid, that glue that's holding the skin cells tightly together so that so it's not as though they can even lose moisture. But check this out. As we get older, guess what goes down? collagen, hyaluronic acid, and the whole nine yards. So then if you're not doing something to keep that skin ultra-moisturized and then doing things that's going to keep that collagen plumped up, because, of course, the UV rays knock the collagen down, okay, break the hyaluronic acid down, make us look more aged than we really are. So the more that you can keep that collagen plumped up and all of that kind of jazz from the internal, ladies. See, I understand all this topical stuff we talk about is a waste of time. It really is. I'm telling you, because skin manifests from where? Not from the outside, but from where? The inside.
I mean, it's an internal organ. Right.
Skin is an internal organ that manifests externally, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you want to change it, you got to change it from the inside. And so you can't change collagen from the outside. So when I see all these creams that say, add this and it's got this and it's going to plump up my collagen, yeah, wait, I'll wait, okay? Show me. Because, see, I'm a real scientist, and I like to really understand the research, and I like to understand, well, what is this that we're talking about? You know, I'm not trying to be nerdy, ladies, because I just like to break down the real science, because I like to make sure that people are properly educated.
I love it.
And so when I hear certain things, I like to challenge it, because I'm like, look, teach me. If this is something topical that really does do, well, let me find out, because guess what? If it does, I'm going to manufacture it. See, that's how I think, you know, if it's really doing something that really is working from an external standpoint. I'm just, the verdict is still out. I'm still not convinced that all these fancy topical things that are being promoted, even throughout my cosmetic dermatology industry and things of that nature. I mean, you know, heck, we still got pharmaceutical companies fooling us all day and all night long. And you know, my goal is just to really just look into these things and make sure that I'm providing folks with as much of what I know to be the most credible information, because my name is my word. What information I give you, I want to make sure that I'm giving it to you properly.
Right. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you
so
much.
So hopefully that
really
helped.
Yes,
turn the back of the bottles over and let me know what you think.
Yes, and I will be in touch. Thank you so much.
Matter of fact, next time you go to Sephora, why don't you just take a whole, they might think you're crazy, but go and just take a few of the eye creams on a counter and turn the back of the bottles over and look at all the ingredients. Look at the first two to three.
Okay.
Guarantee they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick the one that's the cheapest price, and then you buy that if you just want to use your eye cream.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, like you said, I think that sometimes we do get asked about all these topical products, but at the end of the day, it is definitely a very more internal process. And, I mean, it might also just be a part of the aging process that we all have to, you know, kind of work with, but at the same time, there's things that we can do internally that can also help prevent that. And I think that I will be happy to promote that and give people that information just as much as any, you know, and try to help people, you know, not spend. I mean, like I said, like I was like, this eye cream is $95. Like, I can't believe that people buy this. But
they do, and it's okay. But just, you know, hey, we all have, heck, I have more than $95 worth of mistakes in my closet. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, or like the $300, you know, face cream. It gets up there. And so, but at the end of the day, I mean, when people are asking for basic information, like you're communicating right now, this is basic things that people just may not necessarily know or remember. And so it's good to also just encourage people to do, you know, the basic things, not necessarily
Absolutely.
All the fluffy stuff. And I think that that's more important than anything. So I appreciate it. Just a reminder.
And I appreciate that, because that's really all that I'm trying to do and that I've been doing. I mean, this is going, I started my company doing this in 99, and my thing was just really to just, you know, give as much credible information, because I saw that as the void, especially amongst our women of color community, that we just weren't getting the accurate information. You know, we were just, you know, wool was just being pulled over our eyes, and this is what I saw, you know, going, you know, fortunately being able to get in the field of dermatology, because, you know, there's not a lot of African-American dermatologists out there. And oftentimes it's that status quo of like, okay, well, you finish dermatology and you go to some office somewhere and then you're in some box in some state somewhere and you got to wait for someone to come to see you. I said, no, I have a brain full of information that I need to get to millions. How am I going to get that done?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that through this multimedia platform. And so it's many different, you know, areas of being able to get this information out is how I do, because it's about spreading the knowledge and
right.
You know, as opposed to me holding it in and waiting for you to come find me in a box in Maryland somewhere. I need for you to find me, and you know, I need to take my information to millions, because there's millions of folks out there that have issues that may not have the resources to come to see me in that box, right?
Right.
They don't have
right.
insurance.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? A lot of people don't even know what a dermatologist is. They can't, and if they can get to one, they sure may not even have the money to spend it when they get there. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of people would be at a disadvantage of this information if they had to wait to come see me in a box. So I said, look, how can I just really get this information out there through stepping outside of the box, ladies, as a dermatologist and taking a more national media approach? So this is how, honestly, I got to the Ladies of Illusions Cosmetics.
Awesome.
So yeah, this is good.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandilyn.
Thank you.
We are running out of time. We may even cut off here. Well, we can probably continue on with the conversation, but the people in the chat room won't be able to hear. But,
okay.
I don't know if you're on, are you on Facebook?
Am I? Yes, I'm on Facebook. We just recently set up a Dr. Macklin page, but that was still at the infancy just maybe a month ago. But I do have under Melanie Macklin, and you'll see Dermatologist Dr. Mack. That is my mainframe Facebook page. And honestly, I do respond to my questions. So you can just look for Melanie Macklin. Last name is Macklin, and you'll see Dermatologist Dr. Mack. And I respond to my questions, and it's me responding as much as I can. I have assistants, but I don't have them answering my hair or skin questions. You know, I don't have them answering any medical questions. So I definitely welcome that. I consult most often on a regular basis outside of my media projects that go on with radio and things of that nature that I work with during the weekday. So when I have my Facebook up and you send me a message, most oftentimes I am back to you, and that's just what I do, and that's what I love. So I welcome that, okay?
Okay, and we had a few more questions that we were wondering if you would just join us out on Facebook to answer them.
Okay, sure.
We're going to do like a chat to kind of follow up from tonight's show.
Okay.
I just want to put the questions out there if you would join us out there.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay, so you would be joining us on the Beauty Talk with Illusion. It's online radio show.
Is that through, you mean through your Facebook?
It's on Facebook, Just like that page, and that's where we'll be continuing the conversation.
What's the page?
It's called Beauty Talk with Illusion.
Okay, Beauty Talk. Okay, I got you. Okay.
And Dr. Mack, if you could just answer one last question as we go to a close. We'd like to know, what is beauty to you?
Oh, okay. Well, gosh, as they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but, you know, I guess my tagline is, I always say that your outer beauty is a reflection of an inner you. True beauty begins within. And that has been my tagline for as long as I can remember, probably close to 20 years now. Because I think that to be beautiful starts from being beautiful from the inside. And it starts with having a beautiful mindset, which, and that's part of that me time that I talked about earlier, where you can get your mind beautiful first thing in the morning. Get yourself ready for you, you know, your me, your mirror time, and that gets your mindset right. So that then you can start going into your beauty regimen and all of that kind of jazz. But yeah, to to me, beauty is starts from the inside. And that's, to me, makes a beauty. You know, when you're beautiful from the inside, of course you're naturally beautiful from the outside, to me. Because I think if there are some little flaws and things of that nature externally that people are having issues with, oh, we can fix that. But let's get that beautiful mindset going right. Because once we get that right, you can everything else can be fixed, from the imaging to the clothes to the hair and the makeup and all that kind of stuff that you ladies are experts at. You can fix all of that. But let's get the mind beautiful, because then that's going to make you beautiful.
Absolutely. And with that being said, we'd like to thank you again for joining us tonight. I can just say to everyone that's listening or who was listening, this won't be the last time that they will hear from you on our show.
No, whenever you want to have me back on, this is what I do. I love it. So it's not as long as my baby girls are taken care of and they already are tucked in and ready for school in the morning, and then mommy's good, I can talk all night.
Everybody's already asked for part two.
Yep, part two. Just let me know when. I'm ready.
Will do. It's been a great conversation, and we're going to continue, for those who are listening, we're going to continue chatting over on the Beauty Talk with Illusions page. So come over there, like the page if you haven't already, and join us for a few more minutes of conversation with Dr. Mack. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Mack, and for those of you who are listening, if you enjoyed the show, you can go out on our profile page here on Blog Talk Radio and like it as a favorite. You can also leave us comments on Facebook as well as Twitter, and you can always email us your comments and questions. And again, we thank you for your support, and we will talk to you again next week. Have a good night, everybody.